Have you ever sized somebody up before you ever got the chance to know them? Have you ever, by just looking at maybe their physical appearance, you kind of, oh, that's who they are, or that's what they're all about, that kind of a thing. I'm sure that we've all done that, and then I'm sure that later, as we get to know that person, we may say, oh boy, was I ever off base? I was really wrong about that. Such is the case, that could easily be the case, let me say it that way, with a man who, well, in 1963, this man developed ALS. His name is Stephen Hawking. You probably have heard that name or know of him, or maybe if you don't know who I'm talking about, you would recognize his picture if you saw it, but in 1963, at the age of 21, Stephen Hawking developed Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. And he's one of the few people that have been able to survive having that disease. He's had it for more than 50 years, but it has taken its toll on his body. He's unable to move. He's unable to control anything. It has twisted and contorted his body. He is unable to communicate. He can't even speak. He has a computer that does that for him. But if you were just to look at that man, you would think there can't be much going on in his mind. But Stephen Hawking is one of the world-renowned theoretical physicists, and he doesn't believe in God. But nonetheless, in his field of study, he is has great intelligence. If you would have sized him up as somebody that didn't know a whole lot, you would have been incorrect. And as we come to the Bible, there's a reminder of us not to do things like that, where you just size people up, prejudge them, and put them into a category. Because if you have your Bible, open it to Luke chapter 13, and I want us to look at a situation very similar. Because we're introduced to a woman in this chapter that is bent over, and when you look at her, you might think that she is the one that has the problems in the passage. But you shortly and very quickly come to realize that it's not her that is bent out of shape. It's some other folks in this story. We might be real quick to judge her as having a problem, but really, she's not the one with the problem. It's somebody who looks like they have their act all together. So I'd like for us to look at Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 10, and we'll read some verses and then we'll make some comment. But in this chapter, see if you can't see three things or people or a combination of both that are bent out of shape. And then by the end, let's see if one of them really is not so bent out of shape or not as bent out of shape as we might have thought. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 10, now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. That's talking about Jesus in the context. And behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could not in any way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called to her, called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid hands on her and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. We're introduced to the first person and it's obvious. I mean, you look at the text, this woman is bent over. She has been afflicted with this for 18 years. And I think it's interesting that it's not just an illness, but the text tells us that it was a spirit of infirmity. So it makes me think that Satan's hand is in this. I don't understand fully how the devil was able to do some of the things that he was able to do while Jesus was on earth. I think that it was probably, in my judgment, limited to the time that Jesus was on earth. It was an opportunity for Jesus to prove that he was the Son of God and that he had power over Satan himself. And one of the things, you know, that the devil did was he affected the bodies of people. He tormented people, and Jesus came along behind and would cast out those unclean spirits, revive those people to their former state, and people would become believers in God and His power because of that. Well, this woman, it is said, had this infirmity where she was bent over, and she had had it for 18 years. But she wasn't as bent as you might think on first glance. You know, you might say, from a physical standpoint, she was bent out of shape, but oh no, 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 not. Listen, where do you find her? It's the Sabbath, and you know where you found her? You found her in the synagogue. Why? Because that's where people of God go on the Sabbath. Here's a woman who had been tormented in her flesh for 18 years, but it had not embittered her against God. How many of us have trouble in our life or have something happen to us and we become bitter and angry with God and resentful and our relationship with God suffers because things didn't just go so well? I think of Zachariah and Elizabeth. They prayed for a son and they wanted a son and they had no son, and as far as they knew, God didn't answer their prayer. But where do you find them when God says, guess what? You're going to have a child. In the temple serving God. You see, they didn't get their way. Their prayers weren't answered as far as they could tell. But it didn't affect their responsibility to God. Listen, next time you're tempted to give up, say, what's the use in praying? God has an answer. If He loved me, He would take this off of me. He would remove this from my life. He would make life easier for me. The next time you're tempted to think like that, remember this woman. She is bent over and has been for 18 years. Do you know how difficult that would be for her to function in daily life? Can you imagine maybe the pain involved? Have you ever had back pain? Have you ever had to go to the doctor because of something gets out of whack in your back and it's painful. You can't even move. You can't even get out of bed sometimes. You have to have somebody help you. This is that woman's life for 18 years. And yet we see her in the synagogue on the Sabbath worshiping God. It's what people of God do. You know, you might look at her body and say, well, she's been out of shape. But her priorities weren't bent out of shape. This woman still loved her God and was serving Him. And Jesus acknowledges that. And when he sees her, He comes over to her and says, woman, I'm going to loose you from your infirmity. And He did. And what did she do when He did? She glorified God. She was made straight. She could stand up. And she glorified God. You know, well, we have a program here. One of our ministries here is called Forever His. And it's about ministering to people who have, severe and moderate handicaps, disabilities. And we call it Forever His because a lot of those children will be forever His. They will have never found disfavor in the eyes of God. And through the years, I've had people say, well, why would God, if God is good and if God is God and all powerful, why would God allow people like that to come into the world and to suffer as they do? I mean, if God is a good God, why do people have eyes that cannot see? Why do people have arms that cannot move? Why do people have ears that cannot hear and mouths that cannot speak? I mean, where's God in all of that? How do you account for the brokenness of mankind in this world and yet claim that there's a good God? And, you know, I don't know. Oh, I've got a lot of answers to that. I don't know that all of them suffice. But one of the things that I have thought of through the years that has helped me, at least in my perspective, is this. Sometimes we're too quick to judge. We look at a person and we see them as having a disability. When if we backed up and looked at it maybe from God's point of view, they're not the ones who are disabled, we are. You see, they're not the ones who have told God no. They're not the ones who have sinned. They're not the ones who have rebelled. I am. You are. And so from a heavenly perspective, those children are not the ones who have the problem. They're not the ones who are bent out of shape. We are. And maybe those children are put into this world to help us to realize and maybe give us an opportunity to reflect the love of Christ. How do we treat other people who are less fortunate than we are? I don't know that I would say they're the ones with the problem. Do they have physical limitations and disabilities? Yes. Would I want them? No. But from God's perspective, I have the greater disability because I have sinned. I've rebelled against God with understanding. And that's been my choice. And they maybe help to teach me and help me to see maybe a more clear reflection of Jesus in their lives. And that's the case with this woman. I might look at her at first glance and just write her off as this. This is her issue. And, well, I may stand erect and she may be bent over, but her priorities might be much more erect than the rest of us. Could it not be the case? This woman, though physically bent out of shape, was standing tall and erect amidst 18 years of being afflicted by this spirit of infirmity, but it had not taken its toll on her relationship with God. I think that's so impressive. But as you see this event take place, and you can only imagine how she must have glorified God. I don't think she just went, yes, you know, just yes. Just a real quiet little, yeah, I'm really happy about this. I'm sure she expressed herself about how happy she was. But look at the very next verse. Read with me verse 14. But the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, and he had said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them and not on the Sabbath day. Do you see the scene? Can you put yourself back there? Here's a woman who finds herself in the synagogue, as difficult as that must have been. She finds herself there because that's where God's people meet to learn and to study and to worship him. And so Jesus heals them. And she glorifies God for what he did for her. But, do you see that? This bent out of shape woman, whose priorities are as straight as an arrow, she glorifies God. But this standing upright ruler of the synagogue, look at what it says about him. It says, the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation. I mean, he can't even rejoice in what had taken place. This is probably somebody he saw week after week after week for years. And she has come and now she's standing upright. And he can't even give thanks to God for that. He is so disinterested in her situation and her plight that he can't even rejoice that she's been loosed. He's just mad. With great indignation, he is upset because Jesus did this on the Sabbath day. And he didn't like that. Now, it wasn't a sin. But they had made a law, a hedge around the law, and they, in their traditions, treated it as though it were a sin. It wasn't a sin. Jesus said elsewhere, it's not wrong to do good on the Sabbath, and he gave several instances when it is done, but they had so misinterpreted that, listen, they had bent the law out of shape, right? Here's a man who stood upright, and he's the one bent out of shape. He's the one with the problem, not the woman who was physically bent out of shape. And so Jesus heals this woman. She glorifies God, and he's angry. And so he turns to the assembly who have gathered to worship God and basically says, wait, none of this glorifying God over this. You stop this because don't you know that, there are 6 days of the week that this kind of thing can go on. If he wants to do this kind of stuff, he needs to do it some other day, not today. What in the world? Is that not bent out of shape? A man who can't have compassion on a sister in Israel? A woman who has suffered untold agony for the last 18 years and all he can think is some self-imposed rule that wasn't a rule in God's word? Man, talk about messed up. Bent out of shape. It's this man who is bent out of shape. Listen, the lack of compassion that we sometimes can manifest is disturbing, is it not? When we get so caught up in agendas and we get so caught up into programs that we can't slow down to appreciate and to glorify God, and to show compassion and kindness to people. We may make a lot of mistakes in our lives, but I hope that those mistakes that we make are not because we have chosen to overlook kindness and compassion. I'm not saying that we should pursue any course that is out of harmony with the will of God, but I am saying this. I want to, if I have a chance to be kind and compassionate to people, I hope we're exhausting those opportunities. We're using them. Because I'll tell you, when I see it in this man, it is ugly. This ruler of the synagogue, one of the leaders in Israel, one of his own folk come in here, one of his own people come in here who's been oppressed, and he doesn't even care. He's more concerned about his tradition than her. It's ugly. But it's ugly when he does it, not when I do it. We might need to look and think again before we throw people under the bus because they're doing something or saying something that doesn't, that's not the way we've done it. That's not the way I like it. That's not the way I prefer it. And we fail to realize that I'm against something that shows kindness and compassion to other people just because it's not the way I like it. We've got to be careful about that. That's bent out of shape. And so we have a woman who's physically bent out of shape, but she's got straight priorities. And we have this ruler of the synagogue who could stand erect, and he's so bent and contorted out of shape, it's not even funny. And then we come to the third point, and it's this, that he had bent that law of God out of shape. That is not at all what the Bible says. And Jesus, you know, after this man addresses the synagogue, says, listen, folks, what you've just seen, don't let that affect you. Don't let that influence you. This guy's wrong. He should have done that. We got 6 other days in the week. He should have done it on one of those days. And so he preaches his little sermon of rebuke for the good that Jesus did. And so Jesus stood up behind him and said this. The Lord answered him and said, hypocrite, does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it away to water it? Well, of course you do. Wait, you mean you'll go in and you'll untie your donkey and take it down the way and lead it to some water so it'll have something to drink on the Sabbath? You'll loose your animal so that it can be refreshed on the Sabbath, right? Is that what you're telling me? Everybody there would say, yeah, of course we do that. We're not so unkind to our animals that we wouldn't even let them have a drink. Come on. But here's Jesus' point. So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, not a donkey, not an animal. This is a woman who is a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. And I like the way that Jesus kind of parenthetically puts in here. Now think about it. He's drawing an illustration. You'll loose an animal and take it and let it be refreshed with water. What I've done today is taken a daughter of Abraham who has been bound by Satan and this infirmity, and I want you to think about this. And I have loosed her. And you got a problem with that? You're gonna have this big issue? For 18 years she was in this case, and I have loosed this woman from her bond on the Sabbath, and you've got an issue. You'll do the same for your animal, but you have a problem when I do it to a daughter of Abraham who has suffered for 18 years. You talk about twisting the law of God and bending it out of shape. That is not at all what the law taught. But the Pharisees of that day had established traditions, and they treated them as though they were law. Do you remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15? He said how that some of you, you teach as doctrine the commandments of men. You've made up these rules and you've elevated them up even above the word of God and said, this is what you've got to do. Let me give you an example. On the Sabbath, these are the kind of rules that they imposed upon themselves. On the Sabbath, you weren't supposed to look in a mirror. You know why? I started to say some of you ladies, but I guess men can be just the same way. Some of you people might look in a mirror and say, I see a gray hair. And you might be tempted to pluck it out. That's work. You can't do that on the Sabbath. So don't look in a mirror on the Sabbath because you'll be plucking out your gray hairs. Tempted to anyway. And to spit. You weren't supposed to spit on the Sabbath. Now, if you were asking my mom, you're not supposed to spit on Friday and Thursday and any other day of the week either. But they said you can't spit on the Sabbath because you know what might happen? If you spit in the dirt, it might make a little hollowed out place where it hit the ground. And that you've dug a hole, you know, and that's work. You can't make holes in the dirt. Now, you could spit, and they said you could spit maybe on a rock, but not on the dirt. Now, this is the kind of rabbinical nonsense that people were imposing on themselves. And when it came to the Sabbath, they said, you can't do good on the Sabbath. You can't even lift the burden of a woman who's been oppressed for 18 years. You can't heal her because that would be wrong. Do it some other day. Wait till Sunday. Jesus says that's totally wrong. You have so misunderstood what the Bible teaches, the Word of God teaches on that issue. And he went on to correct them. Jesus said it's not wrong to do good on the Sabbath. And he gave illustrations. But here's the point, and the lesson will be yours, and I want you to take home with you and to think about. First impressions are deceptive. You can, in a first impression, just create all kinds of notions that, you really miss it when you get to know the person a little bit better. Wow, I thought you were this, and you've proven not to be that at all. And I think that when you read Luke chapter 13, beginning in verse 10, you might get a wrong first impression. You might look and say, oh, that's the story about the woman that was bent out of shape. No, I wouldn't label it that way. You see, I know that there was a woman who had a body that was broken and contorted because of Satan. But boy, she was straighter than the rest of the folks in this story. Because there she was serving God amidst her troubles, faithful in the synagogue, glorifying God. Not embittered, not angry, just serving God. If we could have the choice of a broken body or a bent out of shape body and straight priorities, I hope we would all choose the priorities to be straight. This woman who seemed bent out of shape at first glance wasn't bent out of shape at all. She was right in alignment with God and His will. But there was a man in the story that stood erect and stood tall and was a ruler of the synagogue. He, from all appearances, looked to be fine, in shape. But he was the one who was out of shape because he couldn't rejoice and glorify God in the work of God. It was God who healed this woman, and he found no joy and no pleasure and no room to give God glory in that event. All he could do was speak with indignation and rebuke the Son of God himself. It was he who was bent out of shape because he had bent the law of God out of shape. On first glance, you might have the wrong impression. You look at the story a little closer, and you might change your view as to who and who was not the person with the problem in this story. There may be some among us this morning who find ourselves bound by Satan. And you've been bound long enough. You know, Jesus can set us free just as he did this woman. I'm not saying that he heals us like he did at that time, but I'm saying he can do something better for you. He can forgive your sins. And if you're tired of living under the burden of your own guilt and the penalty of that guilt and that sin, and you want to come clean and you want to live freely and you want to stand erect in the presence of God, not ashamed, that's all offered to you today. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're here this morning having need to do that, we want to assist you in that. And we'll glorify God along with you as you receive that promise. If you're a child of God already but unfaithful and it's time to come home, we'll pray with you to that end if you'll come as we stand together and sing.